Okay, today's daf is Maisros Daf Vav. Maisros Daf Vav, and we are in the first parak, Parakol Gadol, of Maseches Maisros. This parak goes on talking about all the different rules and regulations, the first 11 blot of the parak, and we are into defining different types of fruit. So we had back in the Mishnah, when something is edible, so then it's going to be chayv and maisros. And if it's inedible at a certain stage of its development, then it would not be chayv and maisros. So we spoke about esrogim in the Mishnah. So the Mishnah spoke about esrogim. The Tanna Kamma said esrogim or chayv. Esrogim or chayv. Gdolim uketanim. Big ones and small ones, the Tanna Kamma said. Because both big ones and small ones are edible. And Rabbi Shimon was poter as esrogim bekotan. Rabbi Shimon had a different shear. He said when esrogim are small, so then they are not chayev, says the Mara Folda, back on the Mishnah, ein ne'echolim kitanim, v'lo havi tchilas anochel, because they are not so edible. Maybe they're somewhat edible, and the machlokas is whether achila, idea tzchak, whether somewhat edible is good enough, and the Tanna Kamma says yes. And Rabbi Shimon says no. That was the machlokes in the Mishnah. Then we had a machlokes, which we'll get back to, today, about the almonds. About the almonds. There are bitter almonds and there are sweet almonds. So the bitter almonds are chayiv when they're not bitter, and the sweet almonds are chayiv when they are sweet. When they not like the beforehand, when they are bitter, and that's what the Mishnah said, that they flip. That the bitter ones, which are not bitter when they are small, are chayiv when they're small, and when they're small, the sweet ones are pater because they're not sweet yet. And the opposite, hachayiv b'mesukin pater b'namarim. When they're big, then the big ones are chayiv, then the sweet ones are chayiv, and the bitter ones are pater because it goes by edibility. Good. So now the Gemara says on the bottom of Hey Amabez, the Gemara here quotes a brisa as says as follows. Esrog aboser. What about an unripe esrog, right? That wasn't didn't ripen fully. The marafolda shalon is bashal adayin ubekatnuso eino pri veino kasher lito lelulav bechag. Let's say it's mavishem esrog. We're about to compare hilchas dalin minim and hilchas maisros. Right? Is something considered a fruit to be used for a pre-Eitz Hadar? It says you have to use a fruit. Pre-Eitz Hadar. And we're going to compare that to Maisros. The Gemara in Sukkah also does this with a different maskana. The Gemara there says, in both directions, maybe they're not comparable. But here, we're only going to reject it in one direction, but let's see. So Ezra Gabozer, we have an unripe esrog, Rabbi Akiva, Omer, Eno Pri, Vachacham, Omer, Pri. Machlokas, Rabbi Akiva, and the Rabbanu. Rabbi Akiva says it's not a Pri, it's unripe. So it's not called a pre-Eitz Hadar. But Chachamim Omer Pri, the Chachamim say no, it is called a pre, and it is kosher to use for the mitzvah of pre-Eitz Hadar. So that's Machlokas. Rabbi Ila, Rabbi Yosef, B'Shem Rabbi Lazar, Asya, the Rabbi Shimon, B'Shitas, Rabbi Kiva Rabbo. Oh, we're going to connect Rabbi Akiva over there by Esrog to Rabbi Shimon in our Mishnah. What does Rabbi Shimon say in our Mishnah? Small Esrogim are not Chayiv and Maisros. Right, that's what Rabbi Shimon said in our Mishnah. While Rabbi Akiva says over there, by Esra Kaboser, it is not a Priya. Small Esra cannot be used for the mitzvah. Oh, so the same thing. Rabbi Akiva and Rabbi Shimon, right, Yavamas? Rabbi Akiva and Rabbi Shimon both hold that a small Esrog is out. A small Esrog is out for Hilchas Maisros here, and a small Esrog is out for the mitzvah of Dalan Minim. Right, so that's so Rabbi Shimon must be following Rabbi Akiva, his Rabbi. Kamad Rabbi Akiva Amar Eno Pri, just like Rabbi Akiva says, it's not a pri for mitzvah purposes. Ken Rabbi Shimon Amar Eno Pri. So what Rabbi Shimon says, it is not a pri for meiser purposes, right? And we're comparing the two areas of halacha, and the Gemara ends up by saying. Maybe that's not such a great comparison, as we will see, Be'ez Hashem, in a few minutes. This last line comparing the requirements for pre-Eitz Hadar by Netilas Lulav and for Maisros, that's interesting. You might think, okay, so in general, is it called a fruit or not? Is it called an esrog or not? So that's the comparison. But it is two different areas of halacha. Reminds us a little bit, we've mentioned in the past the Machlokes in the Tosefta in Sanhedrin, where the Gemara has a line there, Kol HaTorah Kula Inyan Echad. We don't paskin like that, the way that it's used there. The Gemara there asks if somebody goes to a Rav on Erev Pesach and asks them a halacha about Hilchas Tisha B'Av. Are they allowed to do that? So the the machlokas there between the Tanakama and Rabbi Meir. I think it's Rabbi Meir who's the first opinion who says he has to ask forgiveness for that type of question. Because once he asks a kasha, I'm sorry, that's not relevant at the time. So he has to ask forgiveness. Well, you know, who says the rabbi is going to be ready for that question? It's embarrassing. And the second opinion that the Tosefta quotes is he doesn't have to ask forgiveness. Why? Because kol Torah kula inyan echad. All Torah is connected to each other. So I don't think we paskin that way in Shulchan Aruch, but we do paskin like that idea. The kol Torah kula inyan echad, and therefore you can compare two different areas, totally different areas of halacha. And like here, we're comparing hilchos dalad minim and hilchos meiser. And there are many other examples given. Right, we can learn the fact that you have to hold the dalad minim straight up. You can't hold an esrog upside down. And that's why we do that in order not to be yotzei the mitzvah. Why would you know that from? From ati shitim omdim, from the fact that the Mishkan's boards were standing vertically, standing straight up, and not upside down, and not horizontal. What do the Mishkan's boards have to do with the Dalan Minim? The answer is, Kol HaTorah Kula Inyan Echad. This really, all of Torah is really interconnected. And that explains why, when we've mentioned Tosfos in Yevamos, on Daf Zayin, Tosfos says there that there's a concept called a Chiddush. Right? The Gemara says in a few places that certain areas of halacha are called chiddush. Right? The Basar B'chalav is called a chiddush. Kilayim is called a chiddush. Edom Zomim is called a chiddush. Not too many things, but a few areas of halacha are called a chiddush. And the question is, why are those called a chiddush? Right? Everything in the Torah is a chiddush. Right? What does chiddush mean? I wouldn't have known this without the Torah. So tzitzis and tefillin and everything is a chiddush. So why are only certain areas of halacha called a chiddush? Like Basar B'chalav, like Edom Zomim, like Motzi Shemra. And the answer is, because a chiddush, Tosfos says in Yevamos Daf Zayin, chiddush means davar hasozer es haklal. It doesn't mean I wouldn't have known it had I the Torah not been given, but it means it goes against the rest of the system that it's part of. Davar hasozer es haklal. And that's what the Gemara says, you can't learn from a chiddush. Mi chiddush lo gamrinan. Why? Because the definition of a chiddush, kol Torah kula inyan echad. All of Torah is one system. It's one unit. But if you have something that's called a chiddush, that means it's part of this unit, but it goes against the rules of the system, so that you can't learn from it. Because that's its definition. Davar hasozer es haklal. So by all of these examples given in Shas, that they're called a chiddush, it's going against the other rules of within the Torah. Basar B'chalav is called a chiddush. Why? Because usually you have two things that you mix together that are mutter. You have soup. You make it soup. You put in carrots and potatoes and celery. That doesn't answer it. It's all mutter things. And now it's mutter soup with potatoes and celery and all good things. But if I take meat and milk together and I cook it, they're two mutter things. I cook it together. It's usher. How did that happen? That's davar hasozer es haklal. They take two mutter things and you mix it together and it becomes aser. Mosi shemra, the rule is that usually you don't get two punishments. Kim le b'drav minei. Whenever somebody does something that's machayev two punishments, they get one punishment. Mosi shemra, two punishments. Right? You have to pay and you get malchus. Loki u'mashalim, it's davar hasozer es haklal. Edom zomamin, usually you have two groups of edom that contradict each other. They're called edom muchashim, trey u'trey, you throw them out. It's a stalemate. Stalemate, two against two. It's a stalemate. Edom Zomamin, what's the Chiddush? You trust the second group of Edom. Why do you trust the second group of Edom? My chaz is the smoke ahani, smoke ahani. What's the difference? They're both, just because they came later? Just because they say, oh, they were with us. Immanuel Yisim, so you trust the second ones? Why should you trust the second ones more than the first ones? So all of those are chidushim. And therefore it's a davar, a sozer, a klal. So even though kol HaTorah kula inyan echad, when you have a chiddush, which is something that goes against the other rules of the Torah, so then you don't learn from a chiddush. Right? So it's all based on those two steps. All of Torah is one unit, but if you have something that goes against the rules of that unit, so then you can't learn from it. And that's why we have the principle of mechiddush lo gamrina. Okay. Let's continue. So that's related to the fact that the Gemara compares, at least in the Havamini here, compares Hilchos Dalan Minim and Hilchos Maisras. And the Gemara says, oh, it must be Rabbi Shimon is following in the footsteps, and the same Shita is consistent with the Shita of Rabbi Akiva, his Rebbe. How do you know Rabbi Shimon is Rabbi Akiva's Rebbe? Rabbi Shimon is Rabbi Akiva's Talmud. So that's the famous Gemara in Yevamos about Sfiras HaOmer and the Talmidim. and the Talmidim, the Gemara in Yavamis, Daf Samach Beis, where the Gemara talks about Rabbi Akiva's Talmidim all died because Lo Nagu Kavod Zebazeh. A very tragic story, which also connects to the fact that Rabbi Akiva, I think we mentioned this a few days ago in Ashir, Rabbi Akiva was always the optimist, and that's why they went to him at the Seder, and that's the Gemara at the end of the Makkos. But here also, this also connects, the fact that he lost all of his Talmidim, and then he started again. The Gemara says, Rabbi Akiva Amar, Lama Torah B'Yalduso, Yilmo Torah B'Zikenuso. Hayilo Talmidim B'Yalduso, Yilo Talmidim B'Zikenuso. If you know you have Talmidim when you were younger, you should have Talmidim when you're older. Shnei Amar, Babuk Ezeres Arecha. Amru, Shneim Asar Elef, Zugim Talmidim. 12,000 pairs of students. Hayilo Rabbi Akiva, Begeves on a Tipperis. He had 12,000 pairs. V'kulan Mesu B'Perek Echad, and they all died at the same time period. V'Bnei Shel Onagu Kavo Zelazeh. They did not give honor, and they not respect each other. And the world was spiritually desolate until Rabbi Akiva came to the students in the south and started again with them and taught them. And who were the five students of Rabbi Akiva? Rabbi Meir, Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Shimon. There's Rabbi Shimon, Rabbi Shimon Yochai, and Rabbi ben Shamua. They were the ones that recreated Torah Shebal Peh. Rabbi Shimon as the Talmud of Rabbi Akiva. Tana, and then the Gemara adds, Kula Mesumi Pesach Vadatzeres. They all died between Pesach and Shavuos. They all died between Pesach and Shavuos. They all died the Misara of Askara. That's the Gemara. So the Gemara says, clearly, there Rabbi Shimon was one of the five students of Rabbi Akiva that he started again with. That's the Gemara here says. Rabbi Shimon, right, we might not know so many of the Tanoim, who is the Rebbe of who, and who is the Talmud of who. I just got to go through the various Gemaras to realize that, who's quoting who. But this one is clear. Rabbi Akiva and Rabbi Shimon, we know the relationship. So the Gemara says, maybe Rabbi Shimon, who says in our Mishnah that a small Esrog is not Chayav and Maisrus, is following Rabbi Akiva, his Rebbe's opinion, who say that a small Esrog cannot be used for the mitzvah of Dalid Minim. Let's do a little more, and then maybe we'll get back to this also. So Gemara says, maybe not. Maybe you don't compare them. Rabbi Yossi says no. Rabbi Yossi says, Kol shu kasher lulav chayav b'maisrus. Right? Everything is, the rule is, anything that is kasher for lulav is chayav and maisrus. V'kol she'en, I'm saying, we're going to ask a question. I guess let's do some of the question first. Rabbi Yossi says, is that the rule that you compare the two? Anything that is chayav, is kasher for lulav, is chayav and maisrus, because they're all called pre. And if it's not kasher for lulav, meaning in our example it's too small, then it's not chayav and maisrus. Does that parallel work? I'm not sure if that parallel works. Hativo, didn't we learn in a brisa hari menumar? What about if a spotted esrog? A spotted esrog is going to be puzzle to use for the mitzvah. Well, a spotted esrog, you don't have to take chuvas and maisrus from. Of course you do. So you see the equation is broken. Hari hamenumar. Hari gadal bitfus. What if, for some reason, I don't know, I'm a strange kind of farmer, I want a triangular esrog. So when the esrog is very tiny, I'll put a triangular form over it. So when it grows into that shape. Right? I have triangles, circles, squares. I have all these different interesting shapes. So I'm going to have esrogim that grow like that. So when that grows, you can't use that for the mitzvah. But it's chayav and maisrus, so it's a weird-looking fruit, but it's still going to be chayav and maisrus. Hari also kikadur, if it's made like a ball, and all of these, hari you pasul lulav chayav and maisrus. So you see, that equation doesn't stick. So how could our Gemara assume that hilchas maisrus and hilchas dalin minim always go together and they're parallel? You see, they're not always together. They're not parallel. So the Gemara answers, you're right, it goes in one direction. If you look at Maseches Sukkah, maybe it doesn't go in either direction. But at least the maskana here in the Yerushalmi is that it goes in one direction. Mistavra, Rabbi Shimon Yodi to Rabbi Akiva. You're right. Rabbi Shimon would be mode to Rabbi Akiva. When Rabbi Akiva says that something is excluded from Maisris, then it's excluded from the mitzvah. Right? That direction it goes. Because mitzvah is more inclusive. So if it's excluded from the Maisris, then it's excluded from mitzvah, Rabbi Akiva lo yodi le Rabbi Shimon, but the other way won't work. Why? Rabbi Shimon yodi le Rabbi Akiva, Rabbi Shimon would agree to Rabbi Akiva, dechsiv pri veino pri. Right, it says by the mitzvah, that you have to have a pre-Eitz Hadar. And so Rabbi Shimon would agree to Rabbi Akiva that anything that is not a pre for Maisris wouldn't be a pre for the mitzvah. Fine. But Rabbi Akiva, lo yod, Rabbi Shimon. Rabbi Akiva wouldn't agree to Rabbi Shimon. Rabbi Akiva, who says that you can't use it for the mitzvah, maybe you would be, it would be chayv and maisrus. Hari menumar, hari gadol betfus, hari asa kikadar, hari apostle, lulav, chayv and maisrus. Period. End of the sugya here in the Yerushalmi, that it will go in one direction and not in the other direction. Also related, the relationship, you get to mention this every couple of weeks, between a Talmud and a Rebbe is a very special relationship. Maybe the most special relationship, where two people learn Torah together, where a Rebbe and Talmidim, right? That's the Rambam, in the first Mishnah, Pirkei Avos, where the Rabbi Shua ben Prachya says, Aseh lecha Rav. Aseh lecha Rav, make sure you have a Rebbe. Make for yourself a Rebbe. Ukenei lecha chaver. And be koneh for yourself, even if it costs you money. Kenei. Kenei lecha chaver, acquire for yourself a chaver. So on the Rambam, on that Mishnah, if you remember, talks about three different categories of chaverim. Three categories of chaverim. And he says, chaverim shlosha sugim. Chaver to'eles, chaver hana'a, the chaver ledvar na'ala. Remember, these are not the words of the Rambam. The Rambam wrote the Pirush Mishnayos in Arabic, and then we have the translation into Hebrew. So the Rambam says, but the idea is true, even if we don't know the exact word. Most of the time, the translation that we have is fine. Once in a while, Rav Chaim Heller or others, or Rav Kapach, you know, takes out a word here or there or adds on a word, which makes a big difference. Most of the time, not. So the Rambam says, Chaver to'elas, what's the lowest level of friend? That's a friend for, you get something out of, you know, a business associate, a business partner. So you get something out of each other's being together. You each have different kochos, and you get to the same financial goal. Number one. Number two, chaver hana'a. A chaver that's enjoyable. What does that mean? A good friend. A good friend that you share things with. The Rambam says even within this one, it's two types. This chaver tainug, you enjoy their company. Hu chaveres hazacharim linikevos b'nisuin, even a husband and a wife who are married purely for a physical relationship, right? That's how he formulates it. Or two good friends, you enjoy their company, you confide in them your secrets, you enjoy schmoozing with them. That's number two. Megalalo kolin yanav hatov mehen vahara belisha yachush mimenu sheyavo bikach bizayin. You don't think they're gonna say over any of the secrets you're telling them? Lo etzlo velo etzel zulaso. That's a chever to'eles. And then you have finally the third level, the highest level of a relationship, a friend. That's chever lidvar na'ala. V'ushatiyah. What does that mean? Lidvar na'ala, for a higher purpose. V'ushatiyah kimiyas shnehem u'matarasam linyanecha. That's where the striving and the yearning of both of them is to one goal. V'hu asiyah satov, and the ultimate good. V'yirtza kol echad mehem lehazer l'chavero kedei lahasig Oso hatov l'shteyam yachad, and they both work together in order to get to that higher level. Not like number one, where it's just a financial goal, but it's a spiritual goal, a higher goal. And that's the chaver that Shimon Prachi is saying you have to get here. Kenei lecha chaver, chaver shetziva bekeniyaso. What type of friend is that? So we mentioned this in the past, that this could be a husband and wife relationship. If their goal is to have a house built on Avodas Hashem. But the one example the Rambam gives is Rebbe Talmud. Rebbe Talmud and Talmud Rebbe. V'hu kigon chavres harav l'talmud v'talmud l'rabo, because their goal is connecting and understanding the Dvar Hashem, and understanding the way that you could become the greatest Avodas Oved Hashem that you could become. Right? And that's the relationship between Rav Shimon Yochai and Rabbi Akiva. Right, and that's what happened. That's what in our Gemara emphasizes, that it's not just a lishitaso of two great tanoim, but it's a lishitaso of a Talmud and a Rav. So that's a closer relationship, obviously, than any other, a deeper one like the Rambam describes. Okay, so the Gemara had the havamina of comparing these two areas, kol Torah kol din yinechad, Rebbe and Talmud, and then the Gemara rejects that at least in one direction. Remember the Medrash in Parshas Emor, where the Medrash compares the four Minim, the Dalan Minim, and the four types of Jews. That's one we discussed that a couple of days ago, when the we mentioned that the hadas doesn't have any taste but has some smell. So we mentioned Reb Chaim Gadievsky, it seems to have some taste in the Gemara. That's what we mentioned on the bottom of Dalam Abes. But the other Medrash compares the Dalaminim to the body parts. If you remember, the Lulav is the spine, and the Esrog is the heart, and the Hadasim are the eyes, and the Aravos are the lips. Right? And the Medrash compares those four. And the question that's asked is, three out of four are an exact parallel. Right? One Lulav and one spine, and one Esrog and one heart, and two Aravos and two lips. But three Hadasim and two eyes. The question is, why is that three? How is that comparable? That doesn't seem to fit the comparison. So the Shemin HaTov, in one of his Sfarim, writes two suggestions. Says maybe every Jew has a third eye, the eye of Havana, the eye of understanding. Because the word Vayar sometimes can mean sees, but also can mean understand. Right? The first pasuk in the beginning of Vayera, it says that Avram Avinu saw the Malachim, and then it says that he saw twice, Vayar. The first one, the Mefarshim say, means he saw them. And the second one is that he understood. So as we say, oh, I see, that means I understand. That's one Vayar, maybe it's the eye of Havana. But the other suggestion that he says is that every Jew sees in three tenses. Past, present, and future. Every Jew lives with an eye towards the past, with an eye towards what I want to accomplish in the future, and how do I get there through focusing and accomplishing in the present. So that's the three eyes of every Jew. And that's the three eyes of the Hadassim. And that's the three statements in Pirkei Avos. Akavya, Ben Malal Omer, Histaka B'shlosha Devarim Ve'enata Balodeve Rabbe Ayin Basa, right, past. Ula Anato Olech, where are you going? Who are you going to stand in the future in din in front of? That's the future, past, present, and future. And that's each of the avos. All the threes connect. Each of the avos. Right? Yitzchak symbolizes for us a perfect past because he was born Jewish, the first one to be born Jewish, the first baby boy to have his bris milah on day 8. His past is perfect. Yaakov Avinu symbolizes future perfect. Mitaso Shlema, the first av, to have all of his children as tzaddikim. Along the way, they had some challenges, that's true. But Mitaso Shlema, his children are all tzaddikim on the Choshen. And Avraham Avinu was busy being Megayiras Hagerim and going around and running the spiritual parade, and that's why he's at the present. So that's the three avos and the three tenses and the three hadasim. They all connect to each other in terms of the dalad mina. Okay, let's continue. Two dots. Hachai b'shketim v'chulu. So the Mishnah said, you have bitter almonds and you have sweet almonds. So when they are edible, then they're chayv and maisers. When they're not edible, then they're not chayv and maisers. And that's the difference between the big and the small. And that's what we had a machlokas in the Mishnah. Again, what was the machlokas in the Mishnah? Machlokas was tadakama. They're opposites. One is chayv, one is pater. Rabbi Shim, I'm sorry. The shkeitim did not have the machlokas. The machlokas was about the esrogim. But the Mishnah said that the shkeitim amarim and the metukim, they alternate, right, big and small. So now, Gemara, hachai b'shkeitim amarim, padam b'metukim, what does that mean? Now we're going to explain it. Kitanim, when these almonds are small, hachayiv, that's what the Mishnah first said, meaning the bitter almonds are chayiv when they're small, and they're pater when they're old, because then they get bitter. And the mitukim are pater when they're small, because they're not matok yet, they're not sweet yet. And achayev and mitukim, pater b'marim, the ones that are chayev when they're sweet are pater when they're bitter. Gedolah, let's talk about the big ones. Right? The sweet ones get sweet when they're big. And the bitter ones get bitter when they're big. So that would be the opposite. Tani Rabbi Shmuel b'Rabbi Yossi, b'shum aviv. Rabbi Shmuel b'Rabbi Yossi said in the name of his father, Rabbi Yossi, Shkedim hamarim hareilu b'turin. Right? Rabbi Yossi says, bitter almonds are always pater, even when they're small. Even when they're small. Mutukim enam chayavam shatifra, and the sweet ones, enam chayavam shatifra shklipasa rachitzona. The sweet one, he has a different shear, not just when they get big, but another opinion. Right? Opinion, a third opinion that even it's when they're the inner peel separates from what's edible, which is at a late stage in their development. Late stage in their development, not just when they become big, but even when their klipa starts separating. Says the Gemara. So we have another opinion about the shkedim. So you have the shkedim in the Mishnah. They're opposites of each other. And Rabbi Yossi says here that the shkedim amarim, the bitter ones, are always pater, and the sweet ones are only chayev when they separate their peel inside. Hori Rabbi Chanina bit Sipori. Rabbi Chanina in Sipori. Keep in mind, Sipori is up north, one of the places where the Sanhedrin went, one of those stops. But he paskin in Sipori, kahad Reb Shmuel Reb Yossi. He was going to paskin like Reb Shmuel Reb Yossi, who quoted his father, right? We just said Reb Yossi said they're not chayav until this final peel comes off. So Gemara says, Bameh Hori. With what did he? What did he paskin? Sipori Amri Bimarim. Right, that Tzipori Amri Bimarim, that they're always pater, right? That the first line, right, what do you paskin? Because Rabbi Yossi, he had said two different lines. The bitter ones are always pater, and the sweet ones are only chayav until a very late stage of the process. So he paskin as follows. What did he paskin? Tzipori Amri Bamahori Tzipori Amri Bimarim, that they're always pater. Reb Zeira Amar Bimisukim. Reb Zeira say Bimisukim, the psak that he gave was the psak relating to the sweet ones, which means that they're only chayev when they are late. When they are late peel comes off. So, discussion in the Gemara, what did he paskin in Tzipori? The first half of Reb Yossi's statement or the second half of Reb Yossi's statement? Amar Reb Yochanan. Reb Yochanan says, got a little geography, Yardu Lakan. When they were in Sipori, he paskin like Rabbi Yossi. Why? Sipori was the place of Rabbi Yossi. Rabbi Yossi was the posek hador there. He was the mara d'asra. And therefore, they paskin there that the bitter ones are always going to be pater, because that's where Rabbi Yossi paskin. But what happens if somebody then brought down those almonds to Tveria, which is you go a little further down and you get to the valley where Tveria is right next to the Kinneret. So Rabbi Yossi says, Yardu lakan is chayvu. But if they come down from Tzipori to Tveria, then they're going to be chayev, because that's not the psak that everybody holds of, right? That everybody holds that they're all pater. No. Now, okay, in that spot, you could paskin like that. Why? Because, again, before the Shulchan Aruch, if there was a rav of a town and he had authority to give a psak, then he could follow that psak. Remember the Gemara at the beginning of Rabbeinu Demila, Kuflamid in Masechta Shabbos, that in certain towns, they ate chicken and milk. Why? Because that was not accepted by all the rabbis. And I think it was Rabbi Yossi Aglili, and the town of Rabbi Yossi Aglili, Tanur Rabbanan, Bimkom Moshe Rabbi Yossi Aglili, Hay Ochlin Basar Of Bachalav. Yeah. And but if you take that Basar Bachalav and then it goes to a different city, you can't eat it there anymore. So that's what Rabbi Yochanan says. Rabbi Yochanan says, when you have these shkedim in Tzipori, then they can be pater. But the second that they are brought down to Tveria, then they're chayev now. Then they're chayev, because you don't hold like Rabbi Yossi. And then what happens if afterwards, Alu? What if they go back up to Tzipori, for Niftaru? So then you say, okay, they were pater before, then they got chayev in the middle, but now they're pater again. They're pater again because they return to their earlier state and psak. Look at the marafold. If they go back, they went from Tzipori to Tveria, back to Tzipori. Acher she yardu misham lekan, after they went down from there to here. Chazer v'halem gamkein. Osan peros kvar niftar kshayusham. They were pater when they started. Then they went down to Tveria and got chayev, but now they go back to being pater. Upatur mafashta. And they're pater now that they return to Tzipori, avagav shabola chal chiv hachi, even though they were chayv in the middle, shechazru lepituran. Right. It doesn't say that if they started off in Tveria and then they go back up, then they'd still be pater. Maybe not. Maybe only because they started off as pater. It went to pater, chayv, pater. If they started off as chayv, could it then become pater? I'm not sure. I'm not sure if that would be the case. But what's clear in this Gemara is that, you know, if it's in a place where the Rav paskin in a certain way, and that Rav is able to give an authoritative psak, so then that would be acceptable. Hari Rabbi Pinchas, continue, next Amud. Hari Pinchas, kivan shara shalosha, shepirshik libaz machitzona. What happens if you see three? You see three, you have a whole basket of almonds, and you see three of them, their outer layer separated. So then, shutarim is kolakupa. You could assume that all of them have that separation. Remember we had earlier, if you see one grape, that affects the whole grape here. If you have one basket, you have three in the basket, so then the whole basket, you could assume, is at that stage. You can't do basket to basket. It could be that different almonds in other baskets aren't up to that shear. They didn't have that separation. But if it's all within one basket, then it is okay. Period. Next Mishnah. Look at the Mishnah. So now we have a new related topic, but we said up until now, when is it a third grown or a little bit grown that it's chayiv in maestris if you would do gemar malacha? So now the gemara says, v'ezu garna lemaestris. But what's goren lemaestris? What's garna? What's gemar malacha? Once the following are done, that's gemar malacha. That's something that a person does. Gemar malacha, and after that, you can't even snack on the fruit, right? It's us or even an achilas arai, which we're going to talk a lot about, Be'ez Hashem. Hakishun v'adilu mishe yafsiku, by these gourds and these melons, mishe yafkisu. Yafkisu, when you take off, it's like the little fuzz on top, when you take that off when you're in the processing. Vim einan mefakes, and if it's something that you're not mefakes, b'shamen arema, when you make it into a bundle, that's the gemar malacha. Avatiach mishi yishalek. That's the same thing as pikus, but it's just for an avatiach, for a melon. V'meinu mishalek, and if you're not going to do that stage, mishi yasa muksa, when you make it into a nice pile in your field. Yerek hanegad, vegetables that you tie into bundles, mishi yugad, when you tie it into a bundle, so no more eating it arai. V'meinu oged, if you're not going to tie it into a bundle, mishi mali esakli, when you fill up the basket. V'meinu mali esakli, and if you're not going to fill up the basket, mishi yilko kol sarcha, when you gather it, all that you're planning to gather it. Kalkala mishi yichape, if you put fruit in a basket, when you cover it, for protection with leaves. V'meinu machape, mishi mali esakli. If you're not covering it, when you just fill the basket, when you finish gathering. And all these apply, if you're taking all these to the shuk, so the market to sales, and you do all these processes, and that's when it symbolizes the final stage. But if you're bringing it into your house, then you can eat, snack on it, until you bring it into your house. Nothing is called gemar malacha until you bring it into your house. Okay, we'll talk more about this, Hashem, next time. Thank you.